Hare Krishna. We are very fortunate and blessed to have the holy association of His Grace Prithu Prabhu. His Grace Prithu Prabhu was born in 1946 and he received the Prabhupada's book on the 31st January 1971 when he was in Hamburg, Germany. He read the entire Prabhupada's book overnight. And he became deeply inspired and he went to the local temple, joined the Hamburg temple immediately the next day, 1st January 1972. So many people are celebrating the 31st December and 1st January. How could one celebrate better than this? On 31st December you read a book and 1st January you join the temple. And Prabhu received initiation from Srila Prabhupada in 1973. When Srila Prabhupada visited, 1972, second initiation was in 1973, when Prabhupada visited Germany. Prabhu also served as a translator for Srila Prabhupada, German to English. So he translated the Bhagavad Gita in German language. And he was also there in Vrindavan, witnessing the final pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhuji served as a GBC for around 26 years. And Prabhuji was also preaching extensively in IIT Kanpur, where more than 100 students were attending his classes. So I have heard from Shyamanand Prabhu in Bombay that Prabhu used to give classes on cow and the bull, cow and the bull from the first canto, Dharma and Bhumi, pastimes of Parikshit traveling across the globe. Once he heard your lecture there in Kanpur. So Prabhu would take different sections of Bhagavatam and enlighten the students very systematically, scientifically. So if Prabhu was telling, hundreds of students used to attend in IIT Kanpur and many of them joined Madhu Pandit Prabhu's Bangalore temple later on. So Prabhu was in India for quite some time and then he went abroad to Germany. Now he is back in India. He had a ashram behind the ISKCON Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, Prabhupada Garuvani ashram. So now he is staying there and he is going to different parts of India again to revive youth preaching. So it's our great blessing today that he is with us. Even in Kartikyatra, some of you might have seen him. Prabhu is here with us today and he is a great singer and speaker of Gita and Bhagavatam. Let's welcome him to Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra Temple. Hari Bol!
Jai Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Jaya Girishvarathari Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba Girishvarathari Yasoda Nandana Prabhu Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jai Dala Madhava Kunjabi Ahari Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Nitai go radi bo, radi bo, radi bo, nitai go radi bo, nitai go. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Where is that thing? Where is it? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sukti Mutsupatapesu Pranayana Vigatataha Niyate Ham Iti Jnanam Mrityu Prabhyavayor Api Supti Mudso Patar Pesu Pranayana Vigatataha Niyate Ham Iti Jnanam Mrityu Pravarada Apu Pravaryarod Api
Mrityu Pravaryarod Api.
Somebody?
Shukti Mocho Padapeshu.
Shukti Mocho
Padapeshu.
Pranayana Vigatataha.
Pranayana
Vigatataha.
Nehadeham Vijnanam. Mrityu Pravaryarod Api.
Summary?
Sukti Morcha Upateshu.
Sukti Morcha Upateshu.
Pranayam Vigatataha.
Pranayam Vigatataha.
Nehadeham Iti Jnanam.
Nehadeham Iti Jnanam.
Yopatrayorapi.
Yopatrayorapi.
Sukti Morcha Upateshu.
Sukti Morcha Upateshu.
Pranayam
Vigatataha.
And Lady, maybe also? No? Okay. Supti Mocho Patat Pishu Pranaya Vigataha Nihate Ham Iti Jnanam Mrityu Prav Vadayorapi. Supti, in deep sleep. Murcha, fainting. Upatapesu, or in great shock. Pranayana, of the movement of the life air. Vigatata, from prevention. Na, not. Ihate, thinks of. Aham, I. Iti, thus. Api, no, jnanam, knowledge. Mrityu, while dying. Pratvarayo, or during high fever. Api, also. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. The living entity is in deep sleep. When he faints, when he has some great shock, or on account of his severe loss, at the time of death, or when the body temperature is very high, The movement of the life air is arrested, and at that time the living entity loses knowledge of identifying the body with the self, purpose of Srila Prabhupada. Foolish people deny the existence of the soul, but it is a fact that when we sleep, we forget our identity of the material body, and when we awake, we forget the identity of the subtle body. In other words, while sleeping, we forget the activities of the gross body, and when active in the gross body, we forget the activities of sleeping. Actually, both states, sleeping and waking, are creation of the illusory energy. The living energy actually has no connection with either the activity of sleep or the activities of so-called waking sleep. When the body is in a deep sleep or when he has fainted, he forgets his gross body, similar under chloroform or some other form of anesthetic. The living entity forgets his gross body and does not feel pain or pleasure during a surgical operation. Similar. When a man is suddenly shocked by some great loss, he forgets his identity with the gross body. At the same time, at the time of death, when the temperature of the body rises to 107 degrees, the living entity falls into a coma and is unable to identify his gross body. In such cases, the living air is moved within the body, it is soaked up. The living entity forgets his identification with the gross body. Because of our ignorance of the spiritual body, of which we have no experience, we do not know of the activities of the spiritual body, and in ignorance we jump from the one false platform to another. We act sometimes in relation to the gross body and sometimes in relation to the subtle body. If by Krishna's grace we act in our spiritual body, we can transcend both the gross and subtle body. In other words, we can gradually train ourselves to act in terms of the spiritual body, as stated, Narada Pancharatna Rishikena Rishikesha Sevana Bhakti Ruchati. Devotional service means engaging the spiritual body and spiritual senses in the service of the Lord. When we engage in such activities, the action and reaction of the gross body and the subtle body cease. Omagyan Tmirandas Yaganandana Salakaya Chakshur Mitam Yena Tasmai Sigura Venama Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitamina Mutale Swayam Rupa Kramayam Dharati Swapadantikam Vandayam Siguru Siuta Patakamalam Siguru Vaisnavam Sa Sri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savaduta Paidana Saitam Krishna Chaitana Devam Sirada Krishna Paransahagana Lalita Sividakam Vitam Sa Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpati Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vishupanu Suta Devi Pranamami Haripe Vansakalpatruvyasa Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaisnavi Vinonuma Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Go Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that this famous verse, some look at the soul, some describe it, some hear of him, and others cannot understand. And so this is a fact that most people, at least in Western countries, there's no defined concept of soul in Abrahamic religion. Abrahamic religion means they're based on Abraham, Jewish religion, Christian religion, and Islam. They're called Abrahamic because they're all based on Abraham, Father Abraham. There's no concept of soul. And people are convinced that they have a soul. They are the body, and they have a soul. We know the soul is in all creatures. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Ridesha Dhunchishti. Lord, the soul is in every creature. And sometimes the top of the church, in particular, the largest Christian, I will not name the name. And he was asked in a public darshan, something like 10,000 people, everybody could ask questions. Somebody said, Holy Father, do animals have a soul? So if you say they have a soul, you already implicate it. It means you are on the bodily platform. And he said, yes, they have. Notice he said they have. That means he's on the bodily platform. An immaterial but non-spiritual soul. Well, I mean, if it's immaterial, it's spiritual. If it's spiritual, it's not material. So you see there's very little, even on the highest level, there's no basic understanding. Consequently, people don't believe in the pre-existence of the soul. If you believe, according to Christian doctrine, in the pre-existence of the soul, then since the 5th century, you are condemned to hell. That means Krishna goes to hell, and Vyasadeva goes to hell, and Shukadeva, we all go to hell. You know, but in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, for the soul there is never birth nor death, and how the soul is transferring from one body to another. And people don't understand this. Consequently, if you don't understand that the soul is transmigrating from one life to another, you cannot understand the suffering in this world. You cannot. Therefore, Abrahamic religion is precursing atheism. Precursing atheism. Because what is your conclusion? I mean, I was 12 years old. My brother died a terrible death, brain tumor. I was lying there. Priest is there. And I said, Father, where is God in all this? Why does my brother have to suffer? What has he done? He said, he has not done anything, he said. He said, then why is he suffering? And he said, I cannot answer this question. And I said to him, Father, you just made me an atheist. I was 12. Because that's the only conclusion. If there is, how can there be suffering and injustice and evil in the presence of an all-good, benign God? It's not possible. Where's God in all this? So some theologians said, God, there are two theories. Either God knows everything, but he has no power to do anything. Or he has the power to do everything, but he doesn't know what's happening. It's all in the scriptures of the Acharyas. You know, this is from Thomas of Aquino, I think, of St. Augustine. You know, so we know God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's all-powerful, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He is everywhere. Not just in heaven. He is in every heart. Savasatramadidhi sanivistu. Matasmitya gyanamapunamsa. Ishvara sarvabhutanam ridesya arunachisati. Brahma yant sarvabhutani. He moves everyone. Yantra uthani maya, who is sitting on a chariot of the body, the robot. We know that. In Krishna consciousness, we learn this as Krishna says, there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Utkramanstam citam vapi bunjanam vagunanvitam vimura nanu pasyanti jnana shakrasha. That the foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of nature, but one whose eyes are trained in knowledge, he can see that this is the point, trained in knowledge. There's a saying by the Chanakya Pandit, the king sees, how does he see? Through his spies. He can understand. Secret service, they can understand exactly what's happening. This is where the king sees. The cow sees through the nose. And that's a fact. The cow, when you hold your hand, she immediately starts smelling. And she can detect the best herb out of a big heap of herbs, of grass. Who knows? A mother cow can smell her calf for 4 kilometers. Her particular calf. There sees through the nose. The human being sees through the eyes and his senses. And that's the problem. Because you see only very little. You know, you can either by direct perception, you see the sun is cool in the morning, hot in the noon, and in the evening it's cool again, and it's by speculation, this is called pratyaksha, direct perception, you see very little. And then by speculation, and research, you come to the conclusion the sun is so many miles across and so hot, etc. But you don't see the sun actually, because if you want to know what the sun is, you have to listen to Shabda Brahma. According to Shabda Brahma, it's the place of Vibhishwan. And Krishna spoke there. Bhagavad Gita. I spoke Bhagavad Gita to Vibhishwan. It's not that he was sweating and it was very hot in thousands of degrees. There is a whole different dimension there. Same with moon planet. What do we see? Rocks, craters, dust, if you send a machine up there. But it's a beautiful civilization. What we see when we go to Mount Kailash? Nothing. It's just a mountain. Yet Lord Shiva is sitting under a huge tree. What we see in Vrindavan? Yes, I know, there are pigs and there are dogs. There's plastic everywhere and everybody tries to get money from you. And then there are devotees as a temple, but there's so much more. This is just a small section of reality. You know? Small section. We are conditioned by three dimensions. And we cannot see the other dimension that is available to great souls. They can enter, even Shyamananda Prabhu, he entered the spiritual world and saw Srimad Radharani. And so Rupa Goswami entered the spiritual world. There's so many examples that people enter into a different dimension. The truth is not three-dimensional. It's just an aspect. It is multidimensional. We have to understand this principle of dimensionality. Like if you want to meet somebody, for example, in a department store, 6 o'clock, he's not there. 6:15, he's not there. You ask him on the telephone, where are you? He says, I'm in the department store. Well, I don't see you. Do you see me? No, I don't see you. Why don't they see each other? One is on the ground floor, and the other one is on the top floor. So it's very simple. It's in another dimension, you see. So a yogi, when he can take bath in the Yamuna and come out as a Ganga, how does he do that? Not that he flies, you know, on a carpet or something, on a broomstick. You know, he just enters another dimension. You know, from a higher dimensional point of view, Yamuna and Vrindavan and Calcutta is next to each other. It's next to each other on a higher level. You know, like, you know, do me a favor, hold this. Put your finger here. You see, if this is A and B, then a two-dimensional ant that sees only left, right, front, and behind will have a long way to go. And she's surprised that her friend is already here. They started together because the friend could understand that A is next to B. You see, on a three-dimensional level, it's only very short distance. So in the same way, once you understand this concept, you get a really good idea of this apparent contradiction that people say the sun is a glowing planet, and we say, no, it is a heavenly planet. It's a place of Vibhishwan, and etc., etc. In the same way, one gopi could not see any other gopi, how Krishna was dancing with her, because it's a different dimension. Brahma was surprised that there are so many Brahmas when he came to Dwarka. Right? He said, is there another Brahma? He said, yes, plenty. And he saw none of the Brahmas could see each other. They were all whisked. Every Brahma thought, Krishna is in my jurisdiction. Everybody. Only Krishna could see, and Brahma could see, our Brahma. Krishna gave him that vision, like Arjuna. He could not see, Krishna gave him vision, and he could see another reality. So this is something important to understand, this concept, you know, of multidimensionality. When Lord Chaitanya was dancing, Prataparudra and Ramananda Roy were standing on the top of the temple, and they could see as the Lord is dancing in every group. But none of the people on the ground could see that. Everybody thought Krishna is in my group only. You see, this is how we can explain many phenomena in Krishna consciousness, you know. I don't know if I even come to this verse, but I will tell you a final story. There was Akbar the Great. He was a great man. He was open-minded. You know, had a kind of a mind that he understood that religion There's religiosity in every religion. So he had Muslim scholars and he had Christians from Goa, Catholics from Goa, Jesuits priests at his court, and he had Sufis and he had everybody and his mothers at his court. You know, hearing from them, what is your opinion, what is your opinion, what is your opinion? And so there was a singer, his name was Tansen, Hindu, and he sang beautifully. A king sometimes would swoon, he would fall unconscious because he was singing so beautifully. So one day he said, Tansen, how did you learn to sing like this? And Tansen said, my guru, Haridas Swami, not Haridas Thakur, Haridas Swami, Haridas Swami Haridas, he founded the Banka Bihari temple. He found the deity of Banka Bihari in Niduban forest. And so he said, my guru told me, I want to see this guru. He said, well, he won't see you. He won't see any kings, not even emperors. Emperor became angry and said, maybe I should go like a beggar. He said, yes, that's a good idea. He will see you as a beggar. So in the morning, the king was dressed up and he was getting out of his palace. Nobody saw him and he rode together with Tansen to Vrindavan. Agra, he was living in Redford. He was not living in Redford, Delhi. His central government was in Agra. And they arrived and Tansen brought him to his guru. The guru was sitting on his dais. The king humbly bowed down in rags. And Haridas smiled and said, O Emperor of India, what brings you here? So he could understand this is the emperor immediately. And he said, your son, disciple sings so beautiful, Maharaj, could you sing? Could you sing? If he sings already so beautiful, how beautiful must be your singing? He said, all right, I will sing not for you, I sing for Krishna, but I sing. So he sang. And it was unbelievable. It was so beautiful that the king, hair was standing on end. He was pious. He donated the stones for the Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan. And so, what can I do for you? You want women. I can get you any amount of women. You money. As much money as you want. Golds, jewels. You become very famous. You come to my court. You will be the most famous singer in all of India. He said, all this I don't want. Like Lord Chaitanya said, Nadanam Najanam Sundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamai. Same idea. No sadhu is interested in that. And he said, there must be something I can do. He said, yes. When I took a bath in the Yamuna today, I walked down the ghat and I saw there was a crack in a step. Can you repair this crack? The emperor was getting furious, you know, asking him to repair a crack. I mean, for that you call a cobbler or something.
Mason,
you know. And Swami smiled. He said, Maharaj, it's not as easy as you think. Tansen showed him this place. So they went. They went down the steps. He looked at the crack and this whole thing turned into solid gold. Thousands of jewels. He looked at the key, at the whole gate. It was made of pure gold. And he saw huge mountains that he never saw before. And he saw waterfalls and they were people there and gardens there and swans came and they uttered the sound of the Samaveda from their wings. So he entered into Gupta Vrindavan at that time. You know, this is the idea, you know, there's a whole world we can perceive only very little because just like put a mouse here. What can a mouse understand what's going on here? Nothing. If you would ask a mouse, what is God? She would say, he's a very big mouse. His fur is made out of pure gold, and he has a beard from here to there, and a tail from here to the fridge. Because he's limited in this mouse perception. He's not in Krishna consciousness, he's in mouse consciousness. And so all humans at the same time, they're fallible. Krishna, Arjuna, Krishna explains to you there are two types of living beings in 17th chapter. Some are fallible, some are infallible. In the spiritual world, everyone is infallible. In the material world, everybody is fallible. That's why we don't have faith in mental perception, in mental speculation. We know that we want to understand Vrindavan, we have to take scripture in Guru Parampara. Otherwise, we just speculate. Like somebody asked Srila Prabhupada this question, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I'm thinking, and Prabhupada said, don't do that. Because he was speculating. So the whole world is full of speculation. Whole world is full of speculation. People cannot understand truth by mental speculation. You cannot even understand a Vaishnava, a pure Vaishnava, Vaishnava ya Kriya Mudra. Nor can you understand what to speak of Krishna. Only by undivided devotion can I be understood as I am. In no other way. There's no other way. Yet people try to understand God in their theological constructs. If you look at mundane religion, these are human ideas. These are human ideas. There is actually even a verse where Arjuna raises this question to Krishna. Let me see if I can find that. What is the situation of those who do not follow the principle of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, passion, or ignorance? Everything is in Bhagavad Gita. This question is raised. And Krishna says that son of Bharata, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. Living entity is said to be of a particular kind of faith according to the modes he acquired. So the according to one's mentality, like there is religion in the mode of goodness. Transcendental goodness, Krishna consciousness, mode of goodness, piety. Then in passion you don't know what is what. You have no discretion. In the mode of passion you have no discretion in religion. In the mode of ignorance you think religion is irreligion and irreligion is religion. You see, everything, you look at Bhagavad Gita, so nicely explained. And real religious dharma, he saksha bhagavad pranitam, that real religion is enacted by God himself. The king sees through the spies, the cow sees through the nose, the sage sees through shastra, scripture. That's why we can understand higher reality through scripture. But ordinary men, they see through their eyes. And therefore, they cannot understand anything. Like Krishna says, the foolish cannot understand. What is this word? Foolish cannot understand how the living entity lives in this body, how he quits this body, that he goes from one body to another based on his mental constitution, that he suffers the reaction of his own life, karmana devanetrina, under Krishna's control. People cannot understand. Even karma. There was a tsunami in Japan some years ago, 4 years ago, and there was a conference, a teleconference, and the head of the church, Catholic Church, he was asked, he was really there for asking questions. One girl came, 7 years old, and said, Holy Father, you know God. Why are all my friends dead? It's the same predicament I faced when my brother died. Why? And he said, I have the same question. He said, I don't know. Every rickshawala knows in India. You know, everybody, practically speaking, knows if you're not the body, it'll be a spirit soul. You ask somebody why he's suffering, this is karma. Why? Well, he's just a child. Nobody's innocent, not even a child in this material world. Everybody is that. Fate, you know, is not accidental, nor is it unfair. It's precise. It's precise. Very precise. You know, as you sow, you will reap. That's what the prayer told the priest. It's in the Bible. Paul says, you sow as you reap. I said, what has he sown? He's just a child. He said, I don't know. And so I said, you just made me an atheist. Because then there's no explanation. Somebody has everything, somebody has nothing. If there's only one life, somebody's rich, somebody's poor, somebody is dumb, somebody's intelligent, somebody's skinny, and somebody's fat.
Very simple. It's always somebody's healthy, somebody's unhealthy, somebody has a perfect body, somebody's crippled. And how do you explain that? It's very simple. If you have philosophy, you know. So he doesn't know. He said, I have the same question. He doesn't understand the soul. I mean, how do you understand the soul? In this discussion, he said, I have the same question. He said, I have the same question, and we don't know. But Jesus is with you, and then he started, you know, displaying the doctrine, Christian doctrine. Jesus died for his sins, and he's with you, and all these things I've heard, you know, zillions of times. And he said, one day you may even understand, one day you may, oh, and Jesus also suffered, and he was innocent. In other words, implying that you are innocent, and therefore you're suffering. Why do we suffer? We are innocent. Why? We suffer the reactions of Adam and Eve, according to church doctrine. They ate the apple. Because the snake told them, if you eat this apple, you become as good as God. Which is a nice analogy. This is Adam and Eve is you and me. Bhaktisiddhanta said that. We are the Adams and Eves. It's our story very nicely described, that we wanted to be God. And so we suffer because of it. You suffer and I suffer because of Adam and Eve. We have nothing to do with that. They have their own karma. You know, everybody has his own karma. Everybody suffers his own reactions. It's very simple to understand. So then he said, after that, one day you may even understand. And that was a good idea, because he just buy a Bhagavad Gita for 100 rupees, and you read the second chapter, and you know perfectly what the soul is, where we are, where we have come from. Everything is in Bhagavad Gita. It just takes 100 rupees. Right? It takes 100 rupees, you have a very clear understanding of the soul. You know? And how the soul is traveling. Let me take this off. I will give you a short demonstration. Can you take this?
Take it off.
I give you a little demonstration to show. This is the Bhumi Aponalobayu Kam, earth water, the gross body. Stula Sarira. This is mind, intelligence, and false ego. And this is you. So what happens when we dream? Very simple. The soul travels. Prabhupada said that. We fly. Mind? What is the mind? Mind is always oscillating, like sinus curve. You know? There was, is a Christian, I'm coming from a Christian camp. There's a song. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Oh yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm really on the ground. Oh yes, Lord. That means the person who sings is on the mental platform. It could be, should be, maybe. That's the mind. And the intelligence always steady. Always is steady. You can see this. You want to get up early because you need to go to the university. You set the clock, bell rings, body wakes up. The body says, oh, now, Preetu, come on, it's so early in the morning, take a round, a little more. Mind says, yes, yes, yes. Far too early, far too early, far too early. Intelligence said, no, you have to get up. Come on, don't be so hard on yourself. Take it easy, baby, take it as it comes. Yes, the mind says, that's right, I also want to sleep. And so if the intelligence becomes overruled by the mind and the senses, you will turn around and wake up after 2 hours. You know, because you listen to your mind and to your senses. Shall I eat? I ate already so much prasada. Mind is satisfied, senses, but then somebody comes with a whole bucket of srikant. What you do? The senses says, ah, let's eat more. Intelligence says, you already ate enough. And the mind says, come on, let's have a little more. And so you take. because he listened to your mind. And if you want to achieve something in this world, doesn't matter what, in the material realm or the spiritual realm, it's a matter to control the mind and the senses. If you want to climb a mountain, pen senses say it's getting too cold. Let's go back. Mind says, yes, I feel anxiety. It's getting dark, let's go back. And the intelligence said, no, we made a decision and we're going to go there. And so he controls his mind and his senses, and therefore he gets. It's absolutely necessary to understand this, the functions of these different elements. You know, that he has a mind, he has intelligence, power of discretion, false ego, mind, buddhi, and ahankara. And this is the soul. And when we dream, we go. When we are aware of it, sometimes you're aware. Who of you flies sometimes in his dream? You see, that's what happens. It's very simple. You fly. The soul flies, you know. Prabhupada actually explains this. You just look at it. One can experience the distinction between the subtle body, linga sarira, and the gross body, stula sarira, even daily in a dream. One's gross body is lying in bed, and the subtle body carries the soul, the living entity, from one place to another, atmosphere. But because the gross body has to be continued, he comes back because he's attached to the gross body. There is actually a subtle cord. It's not subtle, it's attachment. Because of attachment, even somebody is drunk, he will find his house. Because there are so many doors. You know, millions of doors in this town. But he finds his door because he's attached. So when the house gets ruined by some storm, then he has to go. He will overcome this attachment, the body is finished. And he goes into another body. Very simple. Right? Otherwise, so what happens when somebody jumps from the roof? Somebody wants to commit suicide. Mind is telling him, jump. Intelligence said, don't do that. And it goes back and forth. It can take hours. My father-in-law told me a story that when he was in New York, he got stuck in traffic. Oh, everything was stopped and everybody came out of his car. People were looking upstairs, so there was a man standing on a skyscraper. He was about to jump. And he couldn't make up his mind. Intelligence said, don't. Mind says, jump. So then people started helping him. Some men screamed, jump! Thousands of people, this is America, they all screamed, jump, jump, jump. And he jumped. And people went home. It's like in America. Everything is a movie, you know. He jumped. They killed him, frankly speaking. So this is what you do there. The cord of attachment is broken. The body is finished. And you are here. And you want to sleep. And you want to eat, but you don't have the body to do that. So you're in an unfortunate situation that you lost your body. Normally when you die, by the gradual process of dying, you lose your attachment to the body and take another body. But when it is done, all of a sudden, you're a ghost. And you're running around trying to enjoy through the body of somebody else sometimes. And that's called multi-personality disorder. In psychology, there's a ghost inside the body. And so that's what happens. What happens when we change the body? What happens when we fly in the sky? What happens when we commit suicide? What happens when we die? We go from here to there. What happens when we go back to Godhead? Next question, last question. Are you come? This is God. When the soul goes back to Godhead, he leaves the body behind. He leaves the mind behind, the intelligence, the false ego. And the soul, due to his pious life, that's his involvement, he goes to the spiritual world and now watch. I do my best and Krishna does the rest. This is a principle in spiritual life. We have to endeavor. Right? One time, Saraswati Maharaj, he wrote, sent a picture to Prabhupada of the temple in Boston, beautifully decorated. And Prabhupada said, where do you have all this money from? He said, we don't have money. So what he did, he said, we took all the money we had and said, now we will depend on Krishna. He took all the money and spent it in flowers. And Prabhupada said, the idea to depend on Krishna is very nice, but you have to do your service. And then Krishna will help you. That's the point. You know, Krishna helps those who help themselves. We have to do our work. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, can you save me? Prabhupada said, yes, but you have to do the work. Like the soul, we saw this here. I do my work and then I go up and Krishna, he grabs me. Without cooperation with Krishna, you cannot even chant. You know, there's a I think Haridas Thakur, he said, let me just find it. It's a really interesting verse. He said, the same principle. That's not the one. Simply by one's own endeavor alone, no one in this world can overcome distractiveness when chanting Hare Krishna. That doesn't mean we don't have to endeavor. We should endeavor. Then he says, such victory, namely that we can focus on Krishna, can only come about by your merciful blessing, by the blessing of Krishna. Therefore, it's absolutely necessary for everyone to beg for your grace. So by the grace of Krishna, we can chant perfectly, and therefore we have to beg Krishna, please, let me chant. Because that's the highest thing. If we actually can chant Shuddha Naam, we are with Krishna. We are with Krishna at any time, but we don't realize it. But by the grace of Krishna, blind men can see the stars in the sky, lame men can cross over the mountain, foolish men can become a great speaker. All by the grace of God. So we need Krishna's mercy in all things. That's why we have to pray. We pray to Lord Nityananda. We pray to Gaur Nithai and Krishna Balaram. Actually, the best thing is to pray to Lord Nityananda. Prabhupada said that when he was in Vrindavan and he installed the deities there. He said, now you should all go to Nityananda Prabhupada. He said, don't go anywhere else. Because Radha and Krishna, they're involved in their leela. Why you want to disturb them with your prayer? It's a fact, you know. If you study, if you go into Vrindavan temple, how many people are in front of Gaur Nithai? Three. How many people are in front of Krishna Balaram? 10. How many people stand in front of Radhishyam? 1 million people. You know, because people don't understand that. The principle is that we should go to Gaur Nithai, particularly Lord Nityananda. So Prabhupada said, you should go to Nityananda. My dear Lord, I have this problem. You should take shelter in Krishna. No, otherwise we cannot know anything. We cannot hear anything. We cannot see anything without Krishna. You cannot even lift your hand without Krishna. So we have to go to Krishna. It's the last story. And Prabhupada, one time, he was sitting with his big men. And there was a problem. And they're discussing it. And Prabhupada said, now, Tamal Krishna Goswami, what is your idea? What shall we do? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave a nice explanation. Prabhupada said, not a good idea. Next one. He asked everyone, 10 people, finger went around. And Tamal said, and every time Prabhupada said, not a good idea. Then Tamal said, but Prabhupada, what is your idea? Prabhupada said, frankly, I don't have an idea. That's why I'm asking you. But whatever you say is not very good. Let's wait. Let's do some, talk about something else. Krishna will tell us. After half an hour, Prabhupada said, that's it. And he gives this wonderful explanation. Tamar said, how is that possible? How did you get there? He said, Krishna just told me. So we have to, in situations which are unclear, we have to ask Krishna for help. In all activities, depend on me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, you become conscious of me. And if you become conscious of me, you can cross over all the difficulties of material life by my grace. There you have this principle again. Machita sarva durani mat prasada tarishyasi. By the grace of Krishna. So whenever there's some unclear thing, you shouldn't just make a decision. You shouldn't, if there's some philosophical unclearness, and all, we shouldn't vote. It's not a matter of voting on truth. We should ask Krishna, please help us, enlighten us. And Krishna will 100%. And we, not hearing me, you will be lost. If you work not in this consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Krishna says it right in this verse. Machita, you direct your consciousness towards me. Mal sabha durgani, all the difficulties that come from Durga. Mat prasadam, by my mercy, tarishasi. So my time is over. I would like to speak another hour. Maybe even two. So we have to move this lecture, this verse we should discuss again. Because I have not talked about Supta yet, deep sleep. You know, we go through this. You get a complete education on how the basic things work. If you're not the body, if you're a soul, you're part of God, and our duty is to serve God. Prabhupada talked to Professor Durkheim, very famous man. And Durkheim was a Buddhist, Zen Buddhist, very famous Zen Buddhist. He was ambassador of Germany to Japan before the war. And then when Hitler came to power and Japan pledged allegiance with Germany, he immediately left his post and went into a monastery in the hiding throughout the war. And became a Zen Buddhist. And he's from a very old family, very aristocratic, and super intelligent. And super intelligent. Very rarely you see a person who's that intelligent. And so Prabhupada asked him, what is your philosophy? And Durkheim spoke, and then Prabhupada said, not very intelligent. And here is this Durkheim.
Prabhupada, I translate.
So, Durkheim. Yeah, I'm here in this picture. Yeah. So, Durkheim said, why is it not intelligent? And Prabhupada explained to him. Because in Buddhism, there's no concept of soul. They think the soul is a mind. So, a complete new reality opened up for Durkheim. And Prabhupada explained to him Krishna consciousness. I'm not this body. I'm spirit soul. I'm part of God. My duty is to serve God. That's all. Very simple. How long does that take? Somebody should measure the time. When I explain the philosophy, look at your clock. How many seconds? Tell me. One, two, three. I'm not this body. I'm a spirit soul. I'm part of God. My duty is to serve God. How much? Huh? Four. Whole philosophy. In 4 seconds. You know? So he explained to him very nicely that, and after that, this Durkheim, he got up, and he was 72 years old like Prabhupada, same age, just 2 months younger. And he was a gentleman. Immediately he went and paid dandavat in front of Prabhupada. And was touching his feet. And he liked to talk to Prabhupada so much. Prabhupada respected him so highly, you know, that because he understood this man has class, he's cultured. You know, he comes from a royal family. And he was bright and he was humble at the same time. And so Prabhupada enjoyed talking with him. Here you see Durkheim is listening, Prabhupada is talking to him. There are so many examples. They were like brothers, you know. Durkheim said to him, please accept me as your younger brother, because he knew that Prabhupada was 2 months older, you know. It was very, very nice to see this man. And when he left, he told me that I've met in India many Swamis, many Mahans, many big gurus. In the West also many religionists. I met the Pope. I've never met a person like you, Swami Maharaj. Never. He said, this is the greatest day in my life. I'm so happy. Thank you very much. So see this man, you know, such an intelligent person, such a, on the Zen platform, deep realized person. I mean, everybody knows this man all over the world. And he paid his obeisance to Prabhupada. Because there's knowledge here. Because in generally people, some look at the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, some hear of him as amazing, and others can understand. And that's the majority of people. They cannot understand the soul, they cannot understand themselves. Consequently, the whole life is me first, me first, me first. Aham purvam, aham purvam, aham purvam. Because they have no knowledge. All glory to Srila Prabhupada that he brought us here. Without Srila Prabhupada, where would we be? Where would you be? Where would I be? He told me personally, he said, I created you good mercy, your mercy. No, sorry, I created you good fortune. You know, he said, that's what happens. You need the grace of God, you need the grace of the Acharya, and by their grace you can cross over. Even this famous verse of, what is it, Krishna's Kaviraj, by the mercy of Lord Gauranga, even a child can cross over the ocean of conclusions about the Absolute Truth. This conclusion, that religion, this Christianity, that type of religion, these are just, which are full of the crocodiles of the various theories. That's what it says in this verse, you know. They're just theological contracts. People have no idea who was Jesus. And Prabhupada said that to this professor. He said, if you understand Jesus, 2,000 years have passed, Prabhupada said, and still you don't understand Jesus. The man was shocked. And then he said, why, Swamiji? He said, because if you understand Jesus, you can understand Krishna. If you understand Krishna, you understand Jesus. If you say you love Jesus, you must love Krishna. He's a father. Ambi Bija Pradapita. If you love Krishna, automatically you love Nitya Siddha. Automatically. You know, so Prabhupada has given us this wonderful, and you have this amazing temple here. You know, this is very beautiful. When I came 35 years ago, I think there was just this house with this roof going down to the bottom almost. You know, and now this is full of devotees. Association with devotees. Most wonderful. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Do we have any questions? Yes?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhupada, for giving a beautiful example through, you know, gross, subtle, and soul. The question is, the demo is very good. So, I mean, yes, thank you. So, now, you see the, well, during the dream, subtle body carries the soul, leaving the gross body. Very freely it goes and comes back every night almost. Now, while the death, it is said during death, the soul and subtle body feels so difficult to leave the body. Because while during a dream, it's easily able to leave it, but while during the death, it feels a lot of difficulty to leave the body. So why it happens?
Because the body is broken, you know. You have to leave. The houses, you go to the house at night back, even if you're drunk, because you have attached to the house. If you would know the house has been broken, it's finished, why should you go? The house is destroyed, girlfriend calls you, our house is gone. Where do you go? You go to a hotel. You know, so the house, when the house breaks, automatically detachment develops. You become naturally detached. There's this cord. It's called the silver cord in Old Testament, in the Bible, and also in Tibetan Buddhism. Silver cord. It's not a silver cord. It's super subtle. So that cord breaks as soon as the body dies. And so therefore you go to another body. Because the cord breaks of attachment.
The difficulty is there, just for leaving. Because let us say someone, I know that there is a car, I'm getting accident, I'm going to get an accident, I'm seeing the car is coming. And even the car hits me, and I, you know, sometimes I shake, you know, after a long time I die. My soul will not leave easily. As soon as I see the car is going to hit me, and I'm going to die within a some time. So I can easily leave the body, right? You know, why doesn't it happen like that?
Difficult for me to understand what you're saying, because my hearing is not very good. If somebody can explain to him, then I don't have to do it.
So he is saying that it has been observed that people, even old people, although their body may be 80 or 90, when the death comes, they cry, they weep.
Yeah.
They don't want to leave the body.
Yeah.
So why the soul, if the body is falling apart, you know, it is diseased, it is breaking apart, why don't they leave and go peacefully? Why they want to stick on in the same body?
They're attached to the house.
Ah, that is right.
They're attached to the house, you know. See, for the soul is eternal, right? And it has a problem if it comes to the material world. Because he has to take a body that lasts only a very short time. That's a problem. It's like a shirt. This kurta will be, if I keep on washing it in a washing machine, it's just a matter of time, then the whole cloth is morbid, and you have to take another shirt. Because it's gone. So in the same way, when the body falls apart, after 100 years maybe, or even earlier, you go. You give up the attachment to a body that doesn't function. What do you want? The body is dead, lying there. And you're outside. You're looking at this body. And everybody around them who is crying, they carry this body in great procession to the grave. What do they carry? Chemicals. That's all. It's just a bunch of chemicals. You know, and they bow down in front of it and you know, speak many prayers, and the mother comes and cries in front of it. The guy is elsewhere. He's in it. Right? He's already, you know, in hell or in heaven or some other planet, you know. And she's going there throughout her life, you know, praying. I know for my brother, my mother went, once a week she went to the grave. You know, when my brother died, she rolled, she took the best blanket that she had and put it around his feet. I said, why do you do this? He said, because I don't want him to freeze, you know, when he's in the grave. So people are so attached, this bodily concept is so strong, you know. Now, it's in ancient culture, in ancient European culture, that Julius Caesar, the emperor, Roman emperor, he was surprised. He fought against the Celtic tribes. And he wrote in his book, De Bello Gallico, the war against the Celts, De Bello Gallico. And he wrote, they believe that the soul is traveling from one body to another. And they believe that the soul can any form of life. This was a novelty for him. Because that civilization, the ancient civilization, it was Vedic, and they had clear understanding as the soul is traveling from one body to another. But the next layer, you know, there is complete ignorance about the nature of the soul, Roman religion, or as a matter of fact, Roman Catholic Church. You know, because it's a layer of understanding which is very limited, you know. So our ancient people understood in India as much as in the whole world. They could understand the nature of the soul. You know, but people can't understand. Utkramantam sitamapi, the foolish cannot understand, as Krishna says. People who don't understand the soul, they're foolish, according to Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada, namam duskritidu mura. Mudas cannot understand, they don't surrender unto me. 5 times Krishna talks about mudas. He insults everybody, practically speaking. You know, so we are not the body, and people are convinced they're building a monument. But the soul is different. The soul, we are in trouble. That we are living eternally. Even the material world, we are forced to take one body after another. There's nothing we can do about it, because no one can escape death. You can't. There was a little. I tell you a little story. It is an old story from Iraq, from the Sumeric culture. Very ancient story. There was a man rich man, and he sent his son to his servant to the market to buy sabji. When he came to the market, death came and approached him, and he flipped out. He went back to the servant, to the master, said, "Give me a horse, give me a horse, give me a horse, I have to ride away. Death is after me." He said, "Where are you going to go?" "I go to Samarra." "Why you go to Samarra?" "My relatives live there. Please give me a horse." So he rode, he took a horse and went there. So the man, he had no other servant, he went into the sabji market and wanted to buy sabji. He saw death. He said, "Why did you frighten my servant? What has he done?" "I didn't frighten him. I was just surprised that he's in Baghdad because I have a meeting with him tonight in Samarra." You see, where he was riding to. Yeah, he was riding to Samarra, right? So death said, "I was surprised that he's in Baghdad because tonight I will see him in Samarra." That's the place where he went. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, go Premananda Harimo.
Hare Krishna. So camp class will start at 10:15. Hare Krishna.